Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. Direct from Washington, D.C., the land of mindless quizlings, it's the Barry Obama Show.
First of all, was the reference to Spock, is that a crack on my ears? I just want to make sure. Well, you think you're going to... What, are you the ombudsman for the White House press corps? What's your question? Is that your question? What do you think? Look, I think John McCain has genuine passion about many of these international issues. And, you know, I think that all of us share a belief that we want justice to prevail. But only I'm the President of the United States.
Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
From Washington, D.C., the land of mindless quizlings, it's the Barry Obama Show.
That is not on the Savage Nation, the Barry Obama Show. Now, I did that bit yesterday, June 23rd, and I'm pleased to report to you that it was stolen by the Washington Post, who virtually word for word stole the idea for the Obama Show and all of the pieces, which is good. It's good to see that the Washington Post needs Michael Savage, even though they make believe I don't exist. It's nice to see that the media doesn't like my name, but they apparently love my ideas. Now, who else do you know of who has borrowed an idea from yours truly? Shall we start with the lawyer who follows Hannity? The guy named Levine? Shall we start with that phony, degenerate lawyer who follows Hannity, who copied the bunker idea? That little weasel? You want me to name names? You want me to disclose certain things about Wallbanger and Levine? Shall I tell you some things about Levine and Wallbanger's relationships? I will do that on the Savage Nation. Because I'm going to take on the Murdoch smear machine directly. Remember that Wallbanger and Levine work for Moloch. Remember that the leprechaun works for Moloch. Remember that Rush, the leprechaun, and the Wallbanger work in some ways for Moloch. Never forget that. And if I have to be Daniel in the lion's den against so-called conservatives who are all patently fake one after the other, I'll do so. But I'd rather spend my time talking about the Barry Obama Show. Now, the libs have jumped all over South Carolina governor, whatever his name is. I forget his name already. Sanford and Sons, we can call this one. What do you want me to say about it? That's a good thing that he cheated on his wife? It's not a good thing. Is it the biggest crime in the world? Ask his wife. Why did the press go ballistic attacking him? Because they're cowards and jackals. The very same vermin in the media who laughed at everything Obama said and didn't ask him a thing about North Korea, which is Obama's Cuban Missile Crisis. The very same rats in the media who wouldn't ask Obama a real question attacked Sanford viciously because that's who they are. They're jackals. That's all. And I have nothing more to say about it. That's why, you know, yesterday I talked about the proper way to make a meatball. Was it about meatball? No, the proper way to make tomato sauce. And when I got off the air, I actually made tomato sauce and meatballs. You know, there's a way to even roll a meatball I can tell you about. that somebody like Wallbanger and Levine wouldn't understand because they don't actually cook for families. I doubt that they have the capacity to cook for a family. They have too much interest in their own image in the mirror. You understand how that works. Phoenix, Arizona, Eddie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mike, I just wanted to tell you, this is the reasons why I listen to your show. You go from nutrition to spaghetti sauce to politics, and you're right, it's the same old.
Eddie, I'm not a lawyer, remember that. Any lawyer who is a talk show host immediately is disqualified from being a talk show host. That's number one. Any person who never went past high school, whose job was nailing up wallboard, may be a fine person, but they're faking it as a talk show host. They don't have the breadth of knowledge that is necessary to conduct the show. Anyone who never went to college might do a reasonable show as a disc jockey. Now, just because they're good at golf does not make them a good talk show host. Simply because they supported George Bush and support the Republican Party, does that make them a good talk show host?
Listen, they don't have a proprietary thought in their heads. I can't believe they plagiarized.
I don't know how they're in business. I really don't know who listens to them. I don't know it. I just don't understand how people are that naive. But look, I could spend the rest of the day complaining and arguing. They don't have the guts to call the show and argue with me. So what's the point? If they call and I'd argue with them, I'd wipe the floor with them because I'll fight anybody verbally on the air, anybody in this business. And that's why people love me, Eddie. Let me tell you right now, I am not afraid to get in the face of anybody in the media. And they love me for it, and I'm straight up about it. And that's why people love this show. They know that I'm the guy who's got the guts to do it. And I have no machine behind me. I don't have Murdoch Moloch behind me. You know that, and I know that. But that's irrelevant. What's relevant is today, and what we're going to talk about right now, whether you want to hear this or you want to hear about Governor Sanford. How do you feel about Governor Sanford?
I understand your frustration on all this, Mike. I understand.
No, let's talk about the news. Governor Sanford, where did you think he was when he disappeared? What's the first thing that entered my mind? A man like me who can make a good tomato sauce, who can make a good meatball, I knew what it was. I knew he was getting shtupped somewhere where he shouldn't have been.
Right. And me.
You have to be a genius to figure it out? Where was he? Thank God he wasn't. Thank God he was with a woman. That's all I could say when I found it out. I said, the reason he was with a woman is he's a Republican.
That's why I love you.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, if it was a Democrat, he probably would have been not with a woman. Let's put it to you that way. He would have been on the Bonnie Frank side of things.
Oh, good. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Mike, thank you so much.
Thanks. That's all. Yakima, Carrie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, this whole thing just seems weird to me. This is a polished politician. He's been in his office for a while. And he takes off on Father's Day weekend, leaves the country, and then comes back and admits that he's having an affair. This just seems way too...
Well, it's the Obama hate machine that knew about this long before they became president. The Obama-Stalinist hate machine is the most powerful hate machine that's ever been erected in the United States of America. And there's no question they had the dirt on Sanford a long time. They just waited for now to release it. Why, you suspecting there's something different to it?
Yeah, I do. I think that the underground of Washington has so much power right now that they could be using some other type of leverage to make him admit to something this horrendous so that the Republicans won't even consider him for president.
I didn't even know who he was, and then I heard that he was good. I didn't know why all of the half-men, half-women on MSNBC were snickering. I didn't know there were that many in the media, but they're all on MSNBC. I don't know where they get them from. But the half-men, half-women on MSNBC were snickering and saying, oh, he was a Republican. He was a candidate running. He was going to run against Obama. I couldn't believe this. I had no idea he was going to run against Obama.
Yeah, I'd heard from him, and I liked what I heard. And
I never would have voted for him anyway. Would you have ever voted for this guy? I mean, what was his qualifications?
I didn't know enough about him. I liked what he had to say, but...
Yeah. Any Republican who becomes a governor is already disqualified from the presidency, as far as I'm concerned. Hit the rim shot for that. I'll say it again. Guys, get ready. Any Republican who rises to the level of becoming a governor automatically is disqualified to be the president of the United States. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
the woman's name?
In a word, an amazing news conference from Columbia, South Carolina, with the governor there.
I don't even know where to begin. I'm feeling pretty biased in so many ways on this. You know, I guess we should just try and stick to the reason why we're covering this.
Certainly, he was one of those talked about in 2012. He will be less talked about now.
This was
extraordinary.
Something to be seen.
It was an extraordinary news conference.
He was in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and says in his news conference.
I turn it off already. I can't stand it. Sanford admits affair. Wife Jenny responds. Is it Jenny Craig? Is he married to Jenny Craig? Is there an actual Jenny Craig? He looks pretty good coming back from Argentina. You look at the picture. He's tan, he's thin, he's fit. I don't know what he was doing down there. Who's the mystery woman? I hope to God, I pray. This is the kicker for me. If it turns out that the Argentinian or the Argentinian Latina is related to Chavez, it's all over. Let's pray to God that there's not. You know, we don't know. You know, it's another governor or whatever. Let's see. He said he was going hiking. When I heard hiking in the Appalachian, I said, sure. Sanford said he had considered hiking on the Appalachian Trail. An activity he said he has enjoyed since he was a high school student. He said, but I said, no, I wanted to do something exotic. Oh, God. He was wearing a blue and white button-down shirt and brown denim pants. Said he left for Buenos Aires. Oh, Argentina. I'm sorry. I thought it was Venezuela. Thank God. That was close. Whew. Who is she, though? That's the mystery woman already. I can guarantee you Moloch has his agents looking for her. Moloch is overturning every Yama that they can find to see if they can get the lady to write a book for them. Blah, blah, blah. What else? In Buenos Aires, the Avenida Costa is only coastal road. Blah, 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 blah. Argentina's immigration. Blah, blah, blah. The governor said he cut his trip short after his chief of staff, Scott English, told him his trip was getting a lot of media attention. He needed to come back. When asked why his staff said he was on the Appalachian Trail, Sanford replied, I don't know. Oh, this is going to give rise to a lot of jokes about the Appalachian Trail. You know, Appalachia, Appalachian Trail, moonshine. There's no end to the jokes here. This is great for David Letterman. He has new fodder now. I mean, the ugly guys with the big glasses have new fodder now. The mouthpiece will give the bad jokes. I don't know the guy. I have no feeling one way or the other. To me, he's like another Schwarzenegger. They're all the same. What do I care? It's amazing to me, though, how Democrat filth, like bribe money in the freezer for Mr. Jefferson in Louisiana, remember that? Was swept under the rug by the vermin in the media. Remember that one? Forget Clinton. How about Mr. Jefferson, who they found $2 million in his freezer? Remember that before Katrina? But because he's a Democrat and a man of, let's say, a certain orientation of color, that is, he's covered for by the media. I mean, this guy is central casting target. White, male, heterosexual, married. So this won't end for a while. What about Ted Kennedy, a dead pregnant woman that couldn't breathe underwater? How about that one? How about Bonnie Frank and that situation? We're not saying this is justifiable, don't get me wrong. But let's be fair here. What's good for the Reaganite Republicans are good for the Maoist Democrats, aren't they? Palin? Palin's next. God, if I hear that she's going on a trip to the going on a moose hunting trip, and forget about it. Gingrich doesn't have a hope. I hope Gingrich doesn't run because I will be merciless. If the Beltway weasel runs, I will be merciless toward Gingrich. Actually, there's not a Republican candidate that I can see on the horizon that I would support. Well, anybody would be better than this guy that we have now. How'd he go to South America and whose money? You know, is what I want to know. Argentina. Why Argentina? Why couldn't he do it closer to home? You know, it's like Spitzer. Is there something wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people? They do things that when they get caught, it's so beyond belief. Look, Spitzer had a proclivity towards ladies of the night. Let's put it that way. But here's a guy who was going to investigate Wall Street, Elliot Spitzer. And he was clever enough to investigate the smartest brains on Wall Street. But he paid for prostitutes with a credit card filtered through an offshore account. How does that make sense? Now you got a guy, Governor Sanford, he needs something on the side, let's put it to you that way. That's his business, by the way, him and his wife, incidentally. He has to go all the way to Argentina, where he disappears from public office for days at a time. He couldn't just go where everyone else in Washington, D.C. goes. I mean, what is this? You know, he said he had to follow his heart, and his heart's the important part. I didn't believe a word of that part of it, by the way. I saw a little of that. And then the crying part, ugh, that's horrible. What do you mean he had to follow his heart? What was it, follow his heart? I don't get that. What's the following the heart part of it? Well, anyway, that's the story. High unemployment, stupid schools, illegal aliens swarming all over America. And this is the best the Republicans can produce to compete with the Maoist running America right now. Amazing to me. Sanford met in Atlanta after returning from South America. It's a story that should last a day. But because the rats in the media won't cover North Korea in order to make Barry look good, you can hear this for a few weeks now. By the way, Governor Sanford was against the stimulus plan. He wouldn't take stimulus money. That's the reason they brought him down. See, because the stimulus money must be spent in order to rob you and take your tax money. It has to be spent somehow. So here in San Francisco, an unknown motor company called Tesla Motors, in Nancy Pelosi's backyard, which produces electric cars that nobody will buy, in my opinion, received almost $500 million of your tax money while Obama and his minions busted out General Motors. This is how it works, you understand? Now, you have to look at who has stock in Tesla Motors in the Congress. I mean, which husband or which wife of which congresswoman or senator has stock in Tesla Motors to understand where the money went and why. But since we're never going to find that out, you have to understand that we're now living in the equivalent of a, I would call it a banana republic, but we're not a banana republic. I'm going to name America something else, a website republic. We are now living in a web republic, because that's about all most people do under the age of 30, is try to create a website. So we are now a web republic. Up next, the star reporter, or columnist, I should say, for the New York Post, Andrea Peyser, one of my favorite reads every day, right here on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
I guess where I'm trying to go with this is that there are moral absolutes, and that God's law indeed is there to protect you from yourself. And there are consequences if you
breach it. Enough already. Take a walk. Now it's God's law. You know, I don't go for it. He had the affair, Governor Sanford. So let's stop with the God immorality, and I'm sorry, and the crying. You know, why did he have a press conference altogether? Joining us now is Andrea Peyser of the New York Post. Andrea, I'm so happy to have you with us on The Savage Nation.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
So look, you cover the shenanigans of the liberals in Hollywood, but what do you make of this? Here's a Republican, Christian conservative. How do you read this one?
I have never seen anything quite like this. I mean, I sat through the McGreevy, I'm a gay American, and Spitzer, you know, I like hookers, and Bill Clinton, for goodness sakes. But I have never seen a guy get up there and go on for 20 minutes about how, or 10, 15 minutes about how God forgives him. And it's like, oh, by the way, I was unfaithful. Okay, but it's okay. You know, it was.
And what, yeah, he wouldn't stop. It looked crazy. His young assistants actually had to pull him off from the microphone. They grabbed his arms and pulled him away.
God, yeah, unbelievable. Nothing. I've never seen anything quite like this.
Why now, Andrea? Why would you think we heard about this 8-year-long affair all of a sudden?
I guess he got caught by his local paper. That's all I can see, because he wasn't telling anyway. He told his staff he was on an adventure trail and on the
Appalachian. He was hiking the Appalachian Trail. It sounded very much like the Boy Scouts on the trail. What is your new book about, Andrea?
My book is called Celebutards, The Hollywood Hacks, Limousine Liberals, and Pandering Politicians Who Are Destroying America.
You mean Celebutards as exemplified by our own Paris Hilton here in the Bay Area?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, she's in there, but I think it's more political in a sense, and Hollywood. We've got Jimmy Carter in there, Al Gore. We've got Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell, people like
that. Wait, celebutards. Jimmy Carter is in the Celebutard Hall of Fame. How?
Absolutely, because Jimmy Carter has really, you know, he has blossomed into a full-fledged being. Only after being president, by writing books in which he is horribly anti-Semitic, and
terrible.
Meanwhile, he's taking money from the Saudi government. To fund various projects. So he's a hypocrite. There's hypocrites. There's idiots. There's celebutards.
Who came up with celebutard?
Actually, we dreamed that it was taken out of one of my columns. Actually, Page Six invented the word, but I lifted it for one of my columns, and the people at Kensington Books saw it and went, "That's it. You know, that's the title."
It's a celebutard, a famous person with a grandiose notion of his own importance and contribution to the known universe. Two, a human being of subpar intellect, oversized ego, and colossal bank account.
Exactly. That's it in a nutshell. Yeah.
Is there anyone in there who we wouldn't expect to be in there? You'd expect Al Gore to be in there because that guy's out of touch with reality. Tom Cruise, you could understand. The man hasn't done a good movie since Born on the 4th of July. Who is in there that's really interesting?
There's a lot of interesting people in there, but some of them, there's different categories. Like I said, there's the idiots, there's the brain deads, and then there's the very, there's Barbara Streisand, for example. There's Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins.
Let's talk about them. They were very vocal when Bush was president. Are they happy now that Obama is president? Has Barbara Streisand stopped air conditioning her furs now that he's president? Is she somehow using a green source of energy to make sure her furs don't go bad in the summer?
Oh, my God. There's even Brangelina in there. Now, Brangelina is, they're not horrible people, but I think that when you are trying to clean out third world countries of all their children, you might want to look in your own backyard once in
a while. Andrea, explain that to me. Why does she adopt so many kids? Do you think it's pure altruism? Is there some, I don't know how to put this, she's doing them a favor, truthfully, dragging them out of slumdog millionaire, taking them out of terrible lives. But why so many? What do you think that's about?
It's a Mia Farrow complex, that's all I can see. It's really, look at me, I'm so wonderful, and look what I'm doing. But
so it's not about the children, it's about showing how good she is rescuing children from the third world.
Definitely the case in Madonna. I mean, that's the biggest ego trip I have ever seen in my life. And meanwhile, she's getting divorced, and the poor kids. They have parents. At least Brangelina tries to make sure that they're orphans, which I think is a good thing if you're going to take a kid home with you.
Who is she married to, Angelina Jolie?
She's not married. Brad Pitt and she cohabitate, as far as I know.
Oh,
I don't think
they're not even married? They wouldn't even get married, even though they're together? Why? Why is he afraid to become a husband?
I don't know. This is Hollywood, This is, in the standard world, people get married. In Hollywood, they don't. I don't know what they're afraid of.
Amazing. Truly amazing how it all works out. So other than your book on the celebutards, you also obviously watched the celebrities of Washington, D.C. today. Amongst all of them, have you seen anything as absurd or as laughable as what went on yesterday with Obama giving a press conference, which I call the Barry Obama Show, where he was not asked one question about North Korea and all he did was eat up everything he said with laughter? Wasn't that yucky?
Yeah, it's really appalling. I mean, he's really gotten a free ride with this media, and you'd think it's got to come to an end, but I don't see any end in sight. Meanwhile, he's turned his back on Israel. He's not really lived up to, I think, his promise. He's got to please a lot of people, and I don't think he's pleasing me, for one thing. So.
Let's go back to Mark Sanford for just a minute before we move on. We're talking with New York Post columnist Andrea Peiser. who wrote a new book called Celebutard, and I would think that virtually every politician today could fall into that category. Do you think that, as I do, that because this governor rejected the stimulus money, that there's some relationship to why he was outed by the political enemies, his political enemies?
Well, that could be the case. I don't know. But what I found most appalling about his press conference was that he basically decided that God forgave him. I like how they do that. Whether he was outed or not, I don't know. But he's been carrying on for a year with this woman, going back and forth to Argentina. What's happening in South Carolina? I mean, things are really wonderful in South Carolina.
I don't know. What happened to all the steel magnolias? There were plenty of them years ago.
You know, your governor should be at home once in a while, but it, you know, Argentina's kind of a far piece down the road to carry on.
Well, look, let's expect the liberals to have a field day with this. Christian conservative, white male, Republican, was going to run for the presidency and then uses God to say God forgives him for this. This is sort of made for your book, isn't it?
He stepped in it, you know. He definitely stepped in it. My book, actually, I don't pick on conservatives in my book because, you know, there's plenty of people on the left who can pick on conservatives. My book really goes after the lefties. This is the one case where, you know, you can't resist, I suppose. But
I guess that's why I made a mistake with the political zoo, because I included too many people who are on the other side as well. Because we're all capable of exhibiting our foibles. I guess I made a lot of enemies doing it. You're doing it the right way, sticking to one side of the aisle.
Yeah, no, I think there's plenty of people on the left who will pick on conservatives. You know, belief in God is considered, you know, very not something you do.
So when are you going back to New York? You were out here to cover that trial in L.A., right?
Oh, I'm back already. We move quickly around here.
Oh, you went back already. Well, that's nice. I figured if you're up here, I would show you how I make meatballs, but I guess we'll have to do that another time.
Well, I would love to try your meatballs.
Yeah, yesterday I spent the whole day talking about tomato sauce. Today is going to be a meatball day. Okay. Andrea Pye's a New York Post columnist. Her new book, Celebutard. Thank you very much for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Thank you.
Very, very nice. 43 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. If you would like to talk about Sanford, if you would like to talk about the Barry Obama show, if you would like to talk about the media jumping all over Sanford while being sycophants to Obama. Do you have the Don't Cry For Me one from Governor Sanford?
Let's see that. Cry for me,
no, that's too creative. Too creative. It's too heavy. We have that. Oh, there's a story out of New York that gets me sick. A New York cop got a perp who shot someone in the face in an elevator, a 17-year-old vermin of the lowest order, shoots a guy in the face in an elevator. A detective with 22 years experience gets this kid basically into a room, doesn't hit him, doesn't lie to him, doesn't coerce him, but simply talks to the kid. And I'm going to play the tape in a few minutes. And the cop doesn't know that the perp is recording him on an MP3 device. At trial, the perp's lawyer, who was still trying to get the name of the lawyer and the judge who did this to the cop, the perp's lawyer pulls out a tape of the cop interrogating the kid. The cop is then tried for perjury. The cop now faces loss of his pension and 22 years in prison. And the perp walks out of the courtroom laughing. We're going to give you the name of the lawyer for the perp and the judge when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
So you got the cop convicted of perjury because the criminal youth taped his interrogation with an MP3 player. And now Christopher Perino, a 22-year NYPD veteran who opted for a bench trial, was today found guilty of three perjury charges by a judge named James M. Kindler in Bronx Supreme Court. The verdict could cost Perino, age 43, his pension and his freedom, while Eric Crespo, the perp who shot someone in the face in an elevator and who recorded him is serving 7 years after prosecutors let him plead guilty to a lesser charge of weapons possession. Perino, who appeared teary-eyed after the verdict was read, could face up to 21 years behind bars. He's the detective. Each perjury count carries a 7-year prison term. At the perp's trial 2 years ago, the detective stated emphatically that he never interviewed the suspect before his aunt and mother had arrived at the 44th Precinct Station House. Prosecutors were blindsided during the 07 trial when Crespo's lawyers, that's the perp, introduced the MP3 recording as evidence against the detective. Now, when you actually listen to the MP3 recording, you hear no coercion. You actually hear a reasonable detective telling the perp that he cannot ask him certain things without the presence of his lawyer, but he's asking them of him anyway, and on and on. How do you think you get convictions of these vermin? How do you think you get convictions of very, very clever criminals? You think they're stupid? They're smarter than you. Many of these criminals are smarter than you. They're just mentally and morally defective in other ways. And so the only way to get them is to outsmart them, and that's what detectives were able to do until the liberal vermin entered the law profession, and judges like James Kindler, who is now given a bigger potential charge against the detective than the man, the 17-year-old who shot someone in the face in an elevator. That's the world we're living in today. How anybody can still become a cop, a Marine, a politician, or even a talk show host is beyond me. It's unbelievable to me. Many of you can't talk about it because you haven't heard the case. It hasn't made it to the media yet. You haven't heard it on the golfer show, so you don't know what I'm talking about. I can play that later. Here's another story that is very close to my heart. As you know, I donate money to various animal causes, one of which is the elephant groups that save elephants. There's a picture on my website that will make you sick. It's rare, 15 rare elephants from Sumatra who are lying dead without their tusks. They were poisoned with cyanide-laced fruit by the lowest of the low human beings, simply to harvest their tusks. Only 3,000 Sumatran elephants are believed to remain in the wild, and the lowest of the low-life vermin in the third world are shooting them or poisoning them in order to rip their husks out of their mouths. And the giant mammals pictured on my website were mostly killed by poachers for their ivory, according to the Forest Ministry in Sumatra. And the number of elephants killed in this country in the past 6 months is now equal to the total for the whole of 2008. It is shocking, said a campaigner with the World Wildlife Fund in the Western Island of Sumatra. Well, there it is. I mean, what can you say about that? The only thing I would say is I hope the government sends the military out to find the poachers and they remove their tusks and leave them to the jungle floor. Tyler, Texas. Scotty, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I just wanted to talk about how Obama is cracking jokes when we have a threat against, Hawaii from North Korea. And I've been reading this book, it's Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury, and it always seems so out of touch with reality to me until today. I'm listening to you, and you're right, Obama's cracking jokes while we have something that's really fearful going on, and I just don't understand why there's not more focus on it.
Because in a dictatorship, there is no independent press. We hear that in Iran, there's a government-controlled press, right? That gives the opinions only of the mullahs and of Ahmadinejad. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Well, tell me how different it is with ABC, CBS, and NBC. This may as well be a state-run press, don't you think?
Yeah, it really
is.
Well,
now you understand the country you're living in, why I call it a web republic. Oh, it's awful. More than 50 NYPD detectives stood in silent solidarity in a Bronx courtroom today to support a cop who was convicted of lying on the witness stand. Detective Christopher Perino faces up to 7 years in prison for testifying that he did not interrogate attempted murder suspect Eric Crespo. It turned out that the then 17-year-old recorded 70 minutes of Perino's questioning on his MP3 player. Perino, who testified he did not remember the questioning, sighed several times and shook his head after hearing Judge James Kindler's verdict. The 22-year NYPD veteran looked forlorn as he passed through the lines of his supporters as he left court. I believe his lawyer is the stupidest lawyer I've ever seen in my life. The lawyer is a moron. Apparently, the perpetrator had a much better lawyer than this detective did, because any good lawyer who listened to the tapes, which I've listened to, by the way, the MP3 tapes, I have the recordings, could easily have argued before a judge that he actually didn't break any laws, that he was simply trying to get information, and that this certainly is not the equivalent of perjury in order to convict somebody. But apparently this rotten, stinking, verminous Harvard law graduate judge hates detectives to such an extent that he threw the book at the detective while going easy on the perp who shot somebody in the face in an elevator. That's the world we live in. The lawyer for the detective argued that cops may fear the consequences every time they interview suspects. He said, "Are we supposed to remember each and every moment of our existence?" The lawyer is a dummy. The lawyer should be disbarred for this. I believe that if this detective got a real lawyer with real money behind him, he could easily get these perjury charges thrown out. And if I knew him, frankly, and I wasn't so immersed in my own problems, I would probably help him, because a good lawyer could take this to the next level and get these perjury charges dismissed. There's no question that this judge is biased. There's no question the cop didn't really threaten this perp in any way when you listen to the tapes. He said he cannot understand why the judge found the detective guilty of 3 felony counts and 1 misdemeanor account, but not guilty on 8 other accounts. You hear this? With dozens of detectives around him on the sidewalk of the courthouse, Michael Palladino, head of the Detectives Endowment Association, said the strange verdict was probably a compromise decision. What does that mean? Sounds like the head of the Detectives Association is another little politician. Well, he says, "We won't take this lying down. Our fight here is not over." I hope so. I hope they get a real lawyer. It sounds to me like this was the cop's lawyer. This guy that the lawyer used, that the detective used, he sounds like a hack that they find somewhere in the courtrooms of the Bronx who can't get a job anywhere else, in my opinion. Here's a suspect shoots someone in the mouth with intent to kill, and a cop trying to get a gun off the street goes to jail.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
So it turns out that Barry Obama actually tried to negotiate with the mullahs before they were shooting protesters in the street. He said, "Be nice, give up your plans to dominate the world with atomic weapons, destroy Israel, take on the great Satan." And that's why he's gone soft on the Iranian mullahs and Ahmadinejad, is because there's a letter went out where he said that he wanted to negotiate with them. The fact is, now we know who Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is. If you didn't know who it was, you know who he is now. And that is, they shoot protesters. I mean, you remember the movie They Shoot Horses, don't they? Well, in Iran, they shoot protesters, don't they? And Obama should have said something much sooner, but he didn't. And, of course, the press corps covered for him, just as they wouldn't ask him a thing about North Korea, while that, unfortunately, continues to escalate. But the left, as you well know, is suicidal. And they feel that their game plan is to do anything that Bush didn't do. They think that's foreign policy. To the left, to do the opposite of what Bush did or would have done is their idea of foreign policy. They don't actually think about the effects of their decisions. All they say is, let's see, what would Bush do? Let's do the opposite, because that's how children think. So here we have a president who's acting like a child, and he has people around him who apparently don't know who they're dealing with. You've got bloodshed, you've got fraud, you've got a ballot stuffing, and the man still clings to his hope of talking Iran out of its nuclear program. And that's why he said there was little difference between Ahmadinejad and Mousavi. That's why he said there's no point in arguing about it. He's still pursuing the absurdity of the college professor who wants to pursue diplomacy. Obama should have acted with the moral imperative. That's what he should have done. I don't believe Obama has any idea what foreign policy is all about. I believe he is hard-focused only on pushing a domestic Marxist agenda. Because remember, if they can get through the socialized medicine that has been the high point of his dreams for his entire life, you got to understand something about far leftists. Their number one priority has always been health care, for every reason you can imagine. It's very expensive, and it's a way to control people from the cradle to the grave. If you've got to go to Big Daddy in the government for every aspect of your health care, from the time you are born until the time you go, until the time you die, they have you where they want you. They have all your medical records. They can manipulate you. They can blackmail you, whatever they want to do. And that's why Obama is hard focused on getting socialized medicine passed as soon as possible. And right after that, after he passes this $3 trillion boondoggle, he's going to try to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens. I don't know how you don't see what he's doing to the country. The man is incapable of dealing with foreign affairs, foreign policy, because he's focused only on a domestic Marxist agenda. That's my opinion. 1-800-449-8255. Play a white sport coat again. I didn't even want to talk about it. I wanted to talk about something. But I got to do news to keep the people listening. How about the evil lure of the sex musician? The Oscar-winning composer of the schmaltzy 1979 hit You Light Up My Life raped 11 young women. He lured to his apartment by telling them he'd make them a star. How do they get these old? I mean, why does anyone remember these people? It's like the guy with the wig in Los Angeles who looks like Howard Stern. He looks like Howard Stern's illegitimate uncle. I'd love to see a picture of Howard Stern without a wig. Oh, what I would pay for that. Wouldn't that be great? Now you change your mind and see. A vow of silence and going into the forest. Play the music a little bit more. Nothing more to say. I've said it all. Country shot. Riddled through with the disease. The cancer is total. The cancer is total. Obama's an exemplification of the cancer. Here's a report I'm about to play for you on a program to encourage more diversity in orchestras. Now, I have nothing against people of color in orchestras if they can play as well as the others. Meaning, the way this used to be done is this. They would be tryouts. Auditions behind curtains so that the people on the panel listening to the violinist would listen to the violinist, not look at the violinist's face or skin color or sexual male or female, right? And what happened was is that they weren't hiring enough people of a diverse nature in the San Francisco Symphony. So they pulled the curtain away, and then they said, now you got to make the symphony look like the city looks. As a result, the San Francisco Symphony sounds like a seventh grade squeaky orchestra warming up. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. But the mayor feels good about it. The mayor feels good about it because the orchestra now looks like the city does. No one goes to listen to the symphony anymore because they can hear that when they go to their child's seventh grade rehearsals with the squeaky squawky. So now there's a program to encourage more diversity in orchestras, and I'm all for diversity in all aspects of life, if the people make it based upon qualifications, not upon other factors. So here's now one of the people who was selected to be in an orchestra in clip 13. Listen to what he says.
When 17-year-old Drew Ford plays his viola, he says he's communicating his feelings.
It's magical. It's a magical effect that just lifts all of your worries away. It's amazing.
All that practice hasn't gotten him into it.
So in other words, the object here is to make sure that he feels good. Not that he's the best viola player for the symphony. It's that he feels good about playing the viola, that it's somehow medicinal for him. Now listen to clip 14 from the Communist Network.
All that practice hasn't gotten him into Carnegie Hall yet, but it did get him into the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's Talent Development Program, which identifies and nurtures gifted young Black and Latino musicians.
We found out that there were only very few musicians in all around the country in any symphony orchestra
who were Black or Latino.
Black or Latino.
Through the program... Mm.
Well, how many white people are rap musicians? How come there aren't any white rap musicians? Answer, because they don't do it as well as others do. And so people wouldn't go and hear them, by and large. Doesn't that... Is there some kind of program that could be called a rap musician talent development program that would nurture gifted young white musicians? You think that might work? Maybe they can get some TARP money for that one. No, that wouldn't work? Anyway, what do you want me to do here? Murray Weinberg, cop busted in ticket flap. I don't know how anybody becomes a cop, how they become a Marine anymore. Play a white sport coat. No, I don't like that. I'll tell you what, play Theme from a Summer Place. Let's rewind the whole record. Go ahead. Don't play. Let me take a call. Tim in Victorville, California. Go ahead. You're up. On which topic do you call?
I'm calling about the whole thing where the cop got busted. I have no qualms about your point on that the perp should have got a more harsh treatment. But that's a separate offense. His offense was he shot somebody, and he got away with most of that on a technicality. However, I don't believe in handing out free passes to anybody in the country, and not the police either. Too many of them get on a power trip.
All right, let's take that on the face value. The cop broke the law because he denied or said that he did not question the perp when he was lying. That's called perjury. Is that correct?
Correct. See,
But the cop could face up to 21 years behind bars and a loss of his pension, even though he's devoted 22 years of his life to being a detective. Now, I want to remind you that Martha Stewart also was convicted of perjury, and she got 4 months. A certain president by the name of Bill Clinton also was convicted of perjury, and he got no time in prison. How do you figure that this is fair?
Well, I'm not saying the punishment's fit for
the crime. Thanks for the call. There you go. That's all. I'll be right back. Savage. Just go to open mic. I'm not in the mood for recipes today or Sanford. God admits he was unfaithful and to his wife. It's unbelievable to me. He was hiking the Appalachian Trail. The minute I heard it, I figured what he was doing. You couldn't figure it out? I mean, anyone with a brain, a governor disappears. Where is he? What do you think he was doing? The article on cyanide-laced fruit killing rare elephants is a heartbreaker. I don't know how you can see that and not get crazy from it. I do. That's why I donate to the Elephant Preservation Funds and the Gorilla Fund. Imagine they cut the hands off, the paws off mountain gorillas. I can't believe it, what goes on in the world. In China, they take bears and they torture them in front of people for sport. And we think we can negotiate with the third world. You hear that? And it's like Obama trying to talk to the mullahs of Iran and Ahmadinejad. While he's shooting protesters in the street, Obama's holding out talking like Neville Chamberlain. But because he has the press in his pocket, thus far Obama can get away with this. It's astounding to me. Not one word about North Korea. It was shocking, actually. You know, I knew when I studied history, I learned what a state-controlled media is. The state-controlled media only gives you the government's point of view, right? You tell me ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN are not state-controlled media? What's the difference between the people in those companies and how they react to Obama and what they cover for him and what they cover up for him and a state-controlled media? Tell me how it would be any different. You don't think there's a threat from North Korea? I don't think that the maniac can destroy America, but he could launch a rocket, for example, with biological weapons on it. That might just land in Hawaii, or God forbid, in Alaska or Hawaii. Isn't that a threat? Don't you think that our Navy should blow up the ship carrying weapons right, like now, yesterday, the day before? It is his missile crisis, Obama, but because he's so busy trying to pass socialized medicine, his fellow travelers in the media are covering for him. That's what it comes down to. Daryl in Houston, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I was just wanted to make the comment because I listen to y'all shows all the time, and just wanted to say that, you know, the reason that a lot of people are so happy with what they're getting from Obama is because they were all looking for a handout and looking for something for nothing.
That's absolutely right. Many of them celebrated and said, now we're going to have the cars and the houses that you have. I heard it from cops in Florida who told me that the criminals that they normally were pursuing were looking at them, staring in their faces and say, we're going to be wearing your uniform soon. They told it to me.
That doesn't surprise me. Like I said, they're all looking for something for nothing, the easy way out, and that's exactly what this world's turning to. Nobody wants to work for anything anymore. They want to give.
Well, I wouldn't say nobody. I mean, you work, I work, and millions of listeners to this show work. Thank you for the call. New York City, WOR. Ilya, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'm so happy to talk to you. I called about the cop in New York. I know it seems really unfair that he got busted with that MP3 player, but is it possible that maybe karma has come into play and maybe he's done bad things in the past? And now he's having to pay for it?
I don't know. I'm not God. Only God would know about karma.
Sometimes that happens. I mean, a lot of times people...
So, in other words, anybody who suffers is getting their just rewards?
Well, I believe in karma, and I think sometimes...
So you think all children with cancer are being rewarded for with suffering for their past lives?
No, I don't believe in past lives, but I
Oh, you just said you believe in karma. So what is karma? What does that mean?
You know, it's possible maybe that cop's done bad things to other people. And
well, you just said that he's getting punished for things he did in the past, and you believe in karma. And I would like to ask you, what's the karma for the 22 years of service he's performed for the city risking his life? Wouldn't that sort of help some of his karmic balance sheet?
Only God knows what his karmic balance sheet is.
Well, that's what I just said, only God knows. See, I used to believe in some of this stuff till you actually think about it. Karma. Rubbish. Third world rubbish, the idea of karma. It's like, you know, mumbo jumbo from the people who left their religions, their Western religions, and picked up like ersatz Eastern religionism. And karma suddenly covers everything. Oh, yeah, man, that's karma. Peace be with you. What does karma mean?
Karma.
How does that work? So if you go in a cancer ward, a children's cancer ward, they're being paid back for what they did when? Between infancy and age two?
I know.
Or in a past life?
Oh, that's terrible.
See? And the elephants having their trunks cut off after being poisoned. What, are they reincarnated bad guys from somewhere?
Bastards.
Yeah. See, you got to think these things through. There's no such thing as karma. I mean, what goes around comes around. I heard that. I mean, all this hippie garbage. I lived through it all, you know. The one adage that really works is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's the one adage that really works for all religions. You can boil every religion on the earth down to that one phrase. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Or if you want to be negative, do not do unto others, blah, blah, blah. But I was laying in bed this morning thinking about that one, and I said, why don't you just change your thinking just slightly and see if your life doesn't get better, Michael? I said, why don't you do this one? Think of others as you would have them think of you. I said, wow, that's a new one. In other words, I've heard of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That we all know. So you don't cheat, you don't lie, you don't steal, whatever, right? But what about think of others as you would have them think unto you? Now, that starts to borderline almost on liberal platitudes in a certain way. I understand that, meaning if you put out positive thoughts to your worst enemy, the worst enemy is going to think positive thoughts of you. That's what Obama's doing. He's thinking positively about the Hitler of Iran, thinking that the Hitler of Iran will like him for it. He's trying this liberal approach to things, the Dr. Spock approach to world affairs. He's testing the waters. So, in other words, if he were alive, when Hitler were alive, you would be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. Your children would have been made into lampshades by the Nazis if we had had a president like this. in 1939, 1940. He would have gotten up with a press conference, and the stooges at ABC, CBS, and NBC wouldn't have asked him about Hitler's invasion of Czechoslovakia, Poland, because the president would have been trying to pass a health care reform bill, and the dummies certainly are in line with that, so let's not ask him an embarrassing question. And Hitler then would have gone one step further. And he was again, remember, Obama's against missile defense programs. Meanwhile, he authorized Gates to move missile defense into his old state of Hawaii. How does that work?
Savage.
I can pretty much tell you the reason Obama's minions are pushing this health care plan so hard is because they know his poll numbers are falling rapidly, and that is because of the overexposure. Tomorrow he's giving another press conference or fake town hall meeting. 10 days of beatings, shootings, and tear gas and murder by the Iranian mullahs. And finally, the American people are seeing who Obama is when it comes to foreign affairs. We see that with North Korea moving weapons on a ship in violation of even UN laws and Obama's inactivity doing nothing, you know, not even authorizing the ship to board it. The fact of the matter is the man is just nothing more than a Green Party candidate at best. A peacenik, in other words, a far left radical. You forgot what the word radical is? The man is a far left radical. And this is how they see the world. And he's got the press covering for him. And the more we see of Obama, the more we know his honeymoon is coming to an end. The maniacal spending is even scaring the swing voter away from Obama. He is overexposed. Every day another speech. Every day another initiative. Every day fawning media. Every day ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN. People are getting tired of him. And the fact of the matter is, as they get tired of him, his policies are going to have a tougher time of getting passed. He knows that. And that's why he's trying to push socialized medicine as quickly as possible so that he can then jam illegal immigration appeasement down your throat. You understand that? He's got nothing to lose no matter what he does. He's young, he's energetic, and there's no Republican to oppose him. It's a frightening scenario. 1-800-449-8255. North Korea, how come there's not a word out of the media on that one? How could that be? Hawaii, Reed, you're up on the Savage Nation. Is that story playing in Hawaii, the North Korea threat?
Yeah, no, I don't hear a word. All these Obamaites out here, you know, that supported him so much, pretty silent right now. You know, Barry and the Dreamers are just sitting back.
Is that because they feel that Barry will save them from an incoming missile with his magic wand?
No, you tell people out here about that kind of stuff. We got missiles from North Korea out in the water out there, and they look at you like you're crazy. They don't even.
Well, what do you mean? You mean that's because the stooge newspaper, the Advertiser, isn't reporting it? Is that it?
Well, you know, I don't really pay attention too much to the Advertiser. I'm mostly on your site, Savage, there. And,
no, but wait a second. Everyone in the media knows that North Korea has a ship full of weapons, and we're doing nothing. You're telling me the idiots in Hawaii don't even know this? Because the local media won't report it. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's just local news takes care of local things. You know, there's roads.
Oh, no ka'oi. Oh, no ka'oi. You're lucky you live in Hawaii.
Just a howley out here for you, supporting you, Savage. So thanks for what you do.
Thanks for listening. Oh, no ka'oi. Hawaii, no ka'oi. Oh, you're so lucky to live on H1 freeway in traffic. Oh, no ka'oi. You're so lucky to have pollution in the ocean. Oh, no ka'oi. Sacramento Gary, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Thank you so much for taking my call. I've been listening to you for, 15 years, long before you were syndicated while fishing in the Delta. And I typically agree with most of what you say, but I don't agree about the cop in New York. I think this might entrap an innocent person who's not as sharp as a seasoned cop. And we all have the right to a lawyer so we don't incriminate ourselves, Michael.
Gary, listen to me. You are right about that, and I am not arguing with that. I am not saying the detective apparently did not commit perjury. However, I am arguing that his facing a 21-year sentence is completely disproportionate for the alleged crime of perjury.
Yes, I agree with you there, Michael. That is that.
Remember,
is,
Martha Stewart also committed perjury in the same manner. She spent 4 months in some kind of house arrest or whatever. Bill Clinton committed perjury, did he not?
Yes, he did. And we all
did.
Know.
He lose it? Did he lose his pension or his job?
Well, no, he didn't.
So why should a New York Police Department veteran with 22 years of service face a loss of pension and 21 years behind bars, while the person he put away, the 17-year-old perp, was actually hauled in because he shot someone in the face in an elevator?
I agree with what you're saying to a point, but, Michael, we can't have cops that...
I agree with you. I certainly would want a lawyer present if I were being grilled by a cop. I certainly agree with you on that. Absolutely. I am just saying the punishment does not fit the crime.
Sir, I agree with that point, too.
All right, well, let's go away, friends, and I thank you very much for understanding where I'm coming from. San Antonio, JR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Doc Savage, how are you today? Just want to get quick to the point and tell you thank you. I don't have quite the verbiage you've got and the intelligence you've got, but about a year ago, you were one of the inspirations to get me off of drugs. I was doing a pretty bad one there, and that bad one is the cocaine. And, yeah, I want to say thanks.
Wait. First of all, I appreciate it, but I do want to spend a minute or two with you. I want to do it without sounding self-serving. How did this show help you get the will to get off drugs?
About a year ago, you had an ex-gangbanger on there that was trying to influence young men and listen to your show and things of that nature. He tried to listen, make them listen nightly at their own free will. And at that point in time, the way that gentleman was talking, he wasn't super educated, but he understood and was there on your wavelength and just got it. And I was like,
That's interesting. Now, wait a minute. But so in other words, because of that guest, you were able to get the wherewithal to start strengthening your inner being to resist drugs? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, a lot of your different views of the non-political stuff, because you can hear that on every talk show, all points of view, and listening to you not talk about politics is my favorite part of the show.
Let's go there for a minute. What age bracket are you in without giving up too much information about yourself?
I'm 33.
So what part of the non-political stuff do you find the most interesting, entertaining?
Oh, Teddy, of course. I'm a dog.
Why does this little dog, you know, Teddy, my dog, has become almost a mental mascot of millions of people. It's amazing to me. People don't even know him, and they love him.
My wife and I, we've got a dog. We've got several dogs, actually, and a lot of animals at home. Some of them are rescues and things like that. And I don't know, it's just like any dog.
So you're a good man with a kind heart who went to drugs to cover up the pain of your heart and your kindness. There's no question about it.
Yeah, well, it starts off like anything. You do it just kind of goofing around, and the next thing you know, it leads to another, and it takes a hold of your life. And
just goofing around. So when I did shows on the dangers of marijuana, which I called the most dangerous of all drugs because it is a gateway drug, you would agree with that, I think, at this point in your life.
Ironically enough, I can't stand marijuana. It makes you stupid.
But did you start with marijuana, or you went right into cocaine?
I went right to the hard stuff.
Oh, my God. So you're an anomaly. I really never heard of that.
Yeah, reflecting back, I really can't remember how I started. I mean, I was going through some tough times and I quit for a while and got in a bad point in my life. And I guess that was the escape to not dealing with reality. And I don't know.
What kind of program did you go into to get off drugs other than listening to this to the Savage Nation? I mean, this couldn't be the whole thing. Did you go into treatment?
No, friends and family. Just a lot of friends and family. And I'm not a super religious guy, but... you know, you have to stare up a few times when you're looking at yourself at 5, 6 in the morning and you're like, why aren't I sleeping? What the heck's wrong with me? Why am I being so stupid? You know better, but you just can't do it. It just takes a hold of your life. And, you know, just listen to you and be quite honest with you, going to the drug dealer's house, listen to your show, going, why am I going? And I'm listening to this guy tell me how stupid I am, you know, and you know, did it anyway.
Well, let me tell you something. If I can do this show every day, day in and day out at my age after 15 years without drugs, you can certainly live your life without drugs. Trust me, there are days that I wish to God I could reach for something to make it all go away. But you can't. You can't make life go away. Why do you think on a gravestone the RIP is there, rest in peace? Why do you think it's always been called rest in peace? Because none of us are in peace in our life. It's the one thing to remember is that you're not alone in your turmoil, your anxiety, your anguish. All human beings by nature are filled with turmoil, anxiety, and anguish. It's a lie. It's a lie put out by Hollywood and the media that some are, you know, some people don't feel that. Well, maybe some don't. Most people do. That's called life. And I think that once you accept that life is not a bed of roses, has been put that way, and that you have to face the fact that it's terribly difficult from morning till night, just facing life itself is not easy. You're not going to need drugs.
Quick comment, Mr. Savage. I did make a small donation today to your legal defense fund.
No, you don't have to do that. I'd rather you didn't, Jay. I really thank you, but you don't have to. Right now, we're good for right now till the next phase. Trust me, if I needed more in the defense fund, I would ask for it. We're good right now. We're ready to face whatever we have to face, sue whoever we have to sue if we have to. We're using diplomatic channels at this moment. It has cost me quite a bit of money, but I don't want to go into that right now. Lawyers in London are not inexpensive, but I thank you. You know what I want to do for you right now, JR, is send you a copy of Psychological Nudity, because I think you will enjoy reading the stories in there. And I think that that's going to help you a great deal.
Savage, I actually read a couple of chapters from a friend of mine's book, and I was hooked, and he's like, no, I can't let you borrow it. I'm not done with it yet.
No. You stay on the line. It's going to be sent out to you immediately. Thanks for calling. Beautiful call. You know, last night I was watching cage fighting, you know, mixed martial arts, and I enjoy watching it up to a point. Then I have to turn it off at a certain point. There's something about watching a very powerful man getting pummeled on the ground that bothers me. I don't mind these guys bashing each other because they like it. These guys are so tough. They're not like you and I. Any one of their head strikes would kill one of us. I don't know what these guys are made of. I just don't understand it. But the longer I have lived, the more I come to understand all human beings are not the same in any sphere. Some are good at this, some are good at that, and there are some guys who are built for fighting. Just as I'm not making any derogatory comparison, there are certain breeds of dogs that are bred for fighting. Is that correct? My poodle isn't bred for fighting. I mean, you get killed with one bite. We do have to go to the pit bull or the mastiff. You understand that they're bred to fight. And so, therefore, there are people who can take this kind of punishment. And although, you know, you watch a fight like this and you see one of the guys on the ground with the other guy on top of him, and he's doing the ground and pound and beating him. Wow. I mean, like a watermelon being punched over and over. I'm amazed at how quick the referees can jump in and stop it. Because when guys are in a fight and their adrenaline is rushing, they will kill the other man and not even know they've killed the other man unless they're stopped. They're not fighting with any sense of hold of control. They're fighting to kill the other guy. And so the referees in these mixed martial arts fights are amazingly adept, and I've never seen anyone get killed in mixed martial arts, incidentally. The point I'm getting at is I watch these guys, and I see the strength of the human being, and I'm impressed each and every time at the actual physical capacity of the human being. And it goes back to what I used to notice when I was a kid growing up. You know, I'd read the newspapers, the Daily News, the Daily Mirror, the Post. I liked all of the picture newspapers because they told the whole story with one picture. So inevitably, every once in a while, every couple of months, there'd be a story about a kid fell out of a third story or a second story window and then hit an awning and bounced and landed on the ground and he was just had bruises. And then they would show the window and then the arrows, dot, 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 bounced here and he landed there and then it'd show the kid. And I'd say to myself, how could a kid survive falling out of a second or third story window? Answer, because the human being is much stronger than we are led to believe. Now, this goes right to Obamacare. The government wants you to think that you're weak. Governments want you to be helpless. Governments want you to need them. Government wants you to come to them for medication. Government wants you to think that every quirk, every ache, every pain, every fear needs to be treated by government medicine and medication. And what I'm telling you is rubbish, bah humbug. You know, you never heard of self-reliance? That's what I'm talking about. We are all much tougher than we are led to believe we are. I learned this from my mother more than from anybody else. She lived to 88. She had plenty of problems in her life. Emotional things happened to her that I don't want to go into. Somehow she learned how to sort through them. And she used to say to me, every time I try to complain to her about something, she said, "What, do you think I don't have pains?" And she embarrassed me in a way. She didn't do it in a way to make me feel bad. If I'd come and say my head hurts, because I always suffered migraines as a kid till I learned how to get rid of them at age 18 by reading George Osawa's Zen Macrobiotics and studying diet. That's when I first started on the road to my own self-treatment. The point I'm making is that she said to me, don't you think I have aches and pains? She never took an aspirin. So she taught me that it's embarrassing for a man to walk around complaining about anything, you know, with human frailties. And yet you turn on the TV and what do you see? Inevitably, it's a white male, a weakling, running to his mother-wife figure saying, mommy, get me an aspirin. Mommy, get me a drug. Every other ad is for some other problem that you need a drug for. I have never seen such a conspiracy in my life. I'll be right back. Savage. Major stories that I don't want you to forget before this day is over. One is that the North Korean threat has been escalated by the maniac who runs North Korea, who has threatened to wipe America off the map. Now, admittedly, he can't do that, but he certainly could cause a lot of harm to Hawaii or even Alaska. Yet not one question about North Korea was raised yesterday by the state-controlled media during the Barry Obama show. That's number one. The second big story is that the United States, the U.S. administration, contacted Iran's Ayatollah before the election. That's been hidden by the media. This came out today in the Washington Times, and I put it on michaelsavage.com. It's a must-read. Here's what it says. Prior to this month's disputed presidential election in Iran, the Obama administration sent a letter to the country's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, calling for an improvement in relations, according to interviews and the leader himself. Now, why is that important? It's very important because Obama did not condemn the Iranian crackdown against protesters until very late in the game. And the reason he didn't is he was playing nice with the Ayatollahs. Then all of a sudden, he came out and gave a kind of a stronger wishy-washy statement. This is very serious because now Obama has bungled it. Now he cannot deal with the Ayatollahs from a position of strength. The fact of the matter is, even the Ayatollahs are ridiculing him as a result of this. They're saying, which Obama is it that we should believe? And the Obama administration, while criticizing a violent crackdown against the demonstrators, has said that it will continue to engage the Iranian government about its nuclear program. Engage? Are they kidding? It's unbelievable to me. And yet, the libs, of course, as you well know, who suffer the Obama derangement syndrome, ODS, see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil of this president. San Diego, Jeff, you're up in the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure. I just wanted to call in and give a brief testimony of how you've changed my life. And I know there are thousands that have similar stories, but I began listening to you while doing 3 years in the California Youth Authority, which is basically a prison for youth.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I got a Walkman. It's one of the things I was allowed to listen to, and I started listening to your station. And
they let you listen to the Savage Nation? How risque of them. They didn't make you listen to rap music in the California Youth Authority?
That or mariachi music. There were very few choices.
Amazing that they let you listen to talk radio. All right, so did you not have a strong father figure?
I did, but he walked out at 15 when I was 15.
All right, there it goes. So, in other words, the radio voice becomes, in a way, sort of the radio father, right?
Correct. And it.
There's no shame in it, my friend. You take your inspiration wherever you find it. I grew up listening to radio. I grew up reading newspapers. I had influences in my life. You know that sometimes the picture of a single general could get me through a whole year. I remember General MacArthur, for example. I'll never forget as long as I live. You talk about role models and what effect they have on you. General MacArthur, they gave him a white ticker tape parade through New York City when I was like a kid, 10 years old. And he had just come back from Korea. And I'll never forget, I begged my father to take me in his car to Queens Boulevard so we could watch General MacArthur go underneath one on the park on a boulevard in an open car. And I'll tell you the truth, it stood with me for many, many years. He was a hero of mine. Did I know him? No. Did he speak to me? No. Am I General MacArthur? No, that's not the point. Is that we all need role models. We all need something to hold on to in this slippery world that we live in.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are the headlines on today's program. One, stealing from Savage. Two, attacking Governor Stanford. And three, attacking Governor Stanford. And three, the cop and the kid. Yesterday, I did the Barry Obama show with music. It was really great and fun. I was pleased to see this morning that a columnist from the Washington Post stole my idea for the Barry Obama show. Dana Milbank is just the latest in a long line of thieves, in my opinion, who use my ideas without giving me any credit. You see, the media doesn't like Michael Savage, but they apparently love my ideas. Who else do you know of who has borrowed an idea from yours truly? Attacking Sanford. Republican Governor Mark Sanford has admitted an affair with an Argentinian woman today, but the media that protected Bill Clinton when his affair was made public has gone ballistic, smelling blood in the water, because Sanford is a Republican. It's not about a double standard. It's about no standards. We also talked about the cop and the perp. A New York cop has been convicted for talking to a kid perp accused of shooting someone in the face in an elevator before the perp's mommy got there. The cop faces 20 years in prison for perjury and loss of his pension. What's more important, getting a cop on a technicality or putting a street rat away forever? Yesterday, my program was about Chairman Barry Obama descending to the level of a late-night TV comedian. I wrote a bit about it and played it to open my program, and I want you to listen to it again for the record. And remember, this was produced yesterday.
And now, direct from Washington, D.C., the land of mindless quizlings, it's the Barry Obama Show.
First of all, was the reference to Spock, is that a crack on my ears? I just want to make sure. Well, you think you're going to... What, are you the ombudsman for the White House press corps? What's your question? Is that your question? What do you think? Look, the... I think John McCain has genuine passion about many of these international issues. Yeah, I think that all of us share a belief that we want justice to prevail. But only I'm the President of the United States.
Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
Now, I played it on my show, and today Dana Milbank of the Washington Post comes out with a column called The Obama Show, which virtually stole my idea word for word. He compared Obama's press conference to a TV show, etc. Strangely, just after I had done the same thing on my nationally syndicated radio show, which as it happens is broadcast in Washington, D.C., he noted the prearranged questions from the media, as I did on the show, but nowhere did he credit Michael Savage with the idea. Now, I'm used to this. The midstream media, which ignores my books, which ignores my fight against Great Britain, which ignores my battle for free speech, and avoids mentioning Savage whenever possible, is happy to appropriate my ideas when it is convenient for them to do so. This reporter isn't the first one to do it. The hemorrhoid with the ears, who's now broadcast on Fix News Network, takes something from me almost every day. So-called conservative authors use book titles from me. Candidates steal catchphrases such as compassionate conservative. It doesn't really surprise me anymore, but what you need to know is this. In spite of the fact that the empty suits and the empty skirts think my name is a dirty word, they use my ideas. Even if they're not credited, my ideas have permeated the media like no other talk show host in American history. Other talk shows may have connections, but I have conceptions. Other people in the media may be owned by Moloch and promoted by Moloch, who pulls strings for them. Remember that the leprechaun works for Moloch. Remember that Rush, the leprechaun, and the wallbanger work in some ways for Moloch. Never forget that. And if I have to be Daniel in the lion's den against so-called conservatives who are all patently fake one after the other, I'll do so. But I'd rather spend my time talking about the Barry Obama show. Now, the libs have jumped all over South Carolina governor, whatever his name is. I forget his name already. Sanford and Sons, we can call this one. What do you want me to say about it? It's a good thing that he cheated on his wife. It's not a good thing. Is it the biggest crime in the world? Ask his wife. Why did the press go ballistic attacking him? Because they're cowards and jackals. The very same vermin in the media who laughed at everything Obama said and didn't ask him a thing about North Korea, which is Obama's Cuban Missile Crisis. The very same rats in the media who wouldn't ask Obama a real question attacked Sanford viciously because that's who they are. They're jackals. That's all. And I have nothing more to say about it. That's why, you know, yesterday I talked about the proper way to make a meatball. Was it about meatball? No, the proper way to make tomato sauce. And when I got off the air, I actually made tomato sauce and meatballs. You know, there's a way to even roll a meatball I can tell you about that somebody like Wallbanger and Levine wouldn't understand because they don't actually cook for families. I doubt that they have the capacity to cook for a family. They have too much interest in their own image in the mirror. You understand how that works. Sanford admits affair. Wife Jenny responds. Is it Jenny Craig? Is he married to Jenny Craig? Is there an actual Jenny Craig? He looks pretty good coming back from Argentina. You look at the picture. He's tan. He's thin. He's fit. I don't know what he was doing down there. Who's the mystery woman? I hope to God, I pray. This is the kicker for me. If it turns out that the Argentinian or the Argentinian Latina is related to Chavez, it's all over. Let's pray to God that there's not. You know, we don't know. You know, it's another governor or whatever. Let's see. He said he was going high. When I heard hiking in the Appalachian, I said, sure. Sanford said he had considered hiking on the Appalachian Trail, an activity he said he has enjoyed since he was a high school student. He said, but I said, no, I wanted to do something exotic. Oh, God. He was wearing a blue and white button-down shirt and brown denim pants. Said he left for Buenos Aires. Oh, Argentina. I'm sorry. I thought it was Venezuela. Thank God. That was close. Whew. Who is she, though? That's the mystery woman already. I can guarantee you Moloch has his agents looking for her. Moloch is overturning every Yama that they can find to see if they can get the lady to write a book for them. Blah, blah, blah. What else? In Buenos Aires, the Avenida Custer is only coastal road. Blah, blah, blah. Argentina's immigration. Blah, blah, blah. The governor said he cut his trip short after his chief of staff, Scott English, told him his trip was getting a lot of media attention. He needed to come back. When asked why his staff said he was on the Appalachian Trail, Sanford replied, I don't know. Gee. This is going to give rise to a lot of jokes about the Appalachian Trail. You know, Appalachian Trail, moonshine. There's no end to the jokes here. This is great for David Letterman. He has new fodder now. I mean, the ugly guys with the big glasses have new fodder now. The mouthpiece will give the bad jokes. I don't know the guy. I'm no feeling one way or the other. To me, he's like another Schwarzenegger. They're all the same. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back. Savage.
Oddly enough, I spent the last 5 days of my life crying in Argentina, so I could repeat it when I came back here. I'm a bottom line kind of guy. Let me first of all apologize to my wife Jenny. And I don't like apologizing, and so I want to apologize to my staff. And I don't like apologizing, but I want to apologize to anybody who lives in South Carolina for the way that I let them down on that front. And I don't like apologizing, but I want to apologize to good friends. Tom Davis. I don't like apologizing, but he has been an incredibly dear friend for a very long time.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
So today they came out and pilloried Mark Sanford, the governor of South Carolina, because he had an affair. Remember, these are the same people who said Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky was a personal matter. But when it happens to a conservative, it's a different matter. Listen to some of the reactions that came out on the televisions today. They're like sharks when there's blood in the water.
Wow.
The woman's name.
In a word, an amazing news conference from Columbia, South Carolina, with the governor there.
I don't even know where to begin. I'm feeling pretty biased in so many ways on this. You know, I guess we should just try and stick to the reason why we're covering this.
Certainly he was one of those talked about in 2012. He will be less talked about now.
This was
extraordinary
to be seen.
It was an extraordinary news conference.
He was in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and says in his news conference just now, I spent 5 days of my life crying in Argentina.
You know, governor cheats on his wife, lies to his staff, leaves his state, in the lurch with no contingency plans. Once again, all about him and selfishness in his love life.
Wow.
It's a whopper, an absolute whopper.
Certainly a stunning announcement from the governor of South Carolina, who virtually disappeared for several days.
I guess he's just one more example of how we all struggle with our demons.
Wow.
This is unlike any we have seen.
Wow.
We have passed this way before. That sound you're hearing are Republican leaders everywhere screaming.
Wow.
That's not helpful.
But let's keep things in perspective here. At least he had an affair with a woman. Here, he is admitting what he did. He's not lying.
I guess where I'm trying to go with this is that there are moral absolutes, and that God's law indeed is there to protect you from yourself. And there are consequences if you breach that. This press conference is a consequence. And so the bottom line is this. I've been unfaithful to my wife.
Well, at least he admitted it instead of giving a legalistic answer. But what bothered me was not so much that he admitted a mistake, but that he cried in public when he did it. You can hear him tearing up in there. You can hear him tearing. You can hear him crying up there. You can hear him crying. In my day, even if he had done such a shameful thing, a real man would not cry in public. I think he made a mistake having a press conference.
I would simply say I go back to that simple word of asking for forgiveness. Just as a declarative statement, one more before we open up for a couple questions, and then I'll move on. I've tried to think of, first step. One of the first steps is clearing out more time as we go through this process of reconciliation and figuring out what comes next.
Now it's God's law. I don't go for it. He had the affair, Governor Sanford. So let's stop with the God immorality and I'm sorry and the crying. Why did he have a press conference altogether? MichaelSavage.com has the best stories from all the news services from the nation and the world. You can read coverage of Britain's ban on Michael Savage, updated, on MichaelSavage.com. The sword is still hanging over the head of Lieutenant Colonel Shassani. Read the story. The government will not let this go. They're still pursuing legal action against Marine Lieutenant Colonel Shassani. I sent him $30,000 of my own money. Actually, much more was given from my side, and you guys gave a lot of money to his support. They won't leave him alone. You can blame George Bush for this. He had the power to exonerate him. Instead, he exonerated drug dealers. There's another article up there that you should read, The Adolescent Angst of Barack Obama by Michael Barone, which is amazing. And it says there is a tendency for newly installed presidents, like adolescents suddenly liberated from adult supervision, to do the exact opposite of what their predecessors did. Read it. It's amazing. From Fox News, we see that the Iranian police are shooting protesters like animals. This is while CNN is covering the protests from the perspective of Ahmadinejad. Shame on you, Wolf Blitzer. Long time ago, I realized you are the worst of the worst. From the London Guardian, we read that the girl who was shot by the Hitlers of Iran have thrown her family, out of their Tehran home to punish them on top of it all. North Korea threatens the United States, and the United States does nothing but quake in its boots and worship Obama, the commander-in-chief. Muslim leaders have condemned Sarkozy over the burqa ban. That's right, the so-called Muslim Council of Britain said that President Sarkozy's claim that the head-to-toe garments worn by Islamic women signify subservience were patronizing and offensive. That's a joke. From the San Francisco Chronicle, the district attorney, D.A. Kamala Harris, whose release of illegal aliens in the past has led to the death of innocent people, has now said she released illegal aliens who were drug dealers because they were playing by the rules. She now wants to run for the governor of California. On the bottom of the site is something that'll make you cry, especially to me. It makes me sick and enraged. Cyanide-laced fruit has killed rare elephants. At least 15 endangered Sumatran elephants have been shot or poisoned to death with cyanide-laced fruit this year. And I just gave a lot of money to an elephant preservation fund. I hope you... What's interesting about Governor Sanford of South Carolina and his admission that he had an affair is the reaction of the media. The same people who said Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky was a personal matter are now making Sanford's affair into a huge national matter. They say he shouldn't be qualified for a presidential run. And that's because they work for Obama, and Sanford would have been a good competitor. The same people who said that John Edwards' affair shouldn't be talked about are now splashing this news all over the headlines. That's because he's a conservative. The only difference here seems to be that Sanford went south of the border for his dalliance. Apparently, he had an affair with a woman he met in Argentina 8 years ago. But maybe he's just following the advice of the Republican strategists. Maybe the governor was just courting the Hispanic vote.
Savage.
A New York City policeman was found guilty of perjury for supposedly lying about whether he had interrogated a 17-year-old kid who had shot somebody in the face in an elevator. Judge James Kindler, who went to Harvard, said that the 17-year-old perp's MP3 recording proved that the cop had lied about talking to the young criminal before the criminal's mommy got there. But what's more important to you, a technicality about who spoke to who first, or getting a dangerous criminal off the streets? It's a wonder there is anyone left in America who wants to be a policeman or a soldier. It's impossible for them to do their jobs when there are rat lawyers and judges practicing, such as the ones who persecuted this cop. More than 50 NYPD detectives stood in silent solidarity in a Bronx courtroom today to support a cop who was convicted of lying on the witness stand. Detective Christopher Perino faces up to 7 years in prison for testifying that he did not interrogate attempted murder suspect Eric Crespo. It turned out that the then 17-year-old recorded 70 minutes of Perino's questioning on his MP3 player. Perino, who testified he did not remember the questioning side several times and shook his head after hearing Judge James Kindler's verdict. The 22-year NYPD veteran looked forlorn as he passed through the lines of his supporters as he left court. I believe his lawyer is the stupidest lawyer I've ever seen in my life. The lawyer is a moron. Apparently the perpetrator had a much better lawyer than this detective did, because any good lawyer who listened to the tapes, which I've listened to, by the way, the MP3 tapes, I have the recordings, could easily have argued before a judge that he actually didn't break any laws, that he was simply trying to get information, and that this certainly is not the equivalent of perjury in order to convict somebody. But apparently this rotten, stinking, verminous Harvard law graduate judge hates detectives to such an extent that he threw the book at the detective while going easy on the perp who shot somebody in the face in an elevator. That's the world we live in. The lawyer for the detective argued that cops may fear the consequences every time they interview suspects. He said, are we supposed to remember each and every moment of our existence? The lawyer is a dummy. The lawyer should be disbarred for this. I believe that if this detective got a real lawyer with real money behind him, he could easily get these perjury charges thrown out. And if I knew him, frankly, and I wasn't so immersed in my own problems, I would probably help him. Because a good lawyer could take this to the next level and get these perjury charges dismissed. There's no question that this judge is biased. There's no question the cop didn't really threaten this perp in any way when you listen to the tapes. He said he cannot understand why the judge found the detective guilty of 3 felony counts and 1 misdemeanor account, but not guilty on 8 other accounts. You hear this? With dozens of detectives around him on the sidewalk of the courthouse, Michael Palladino, head of the Detectives Endowment Association, said the strange verdict was probably a compromise decision. What does that mean? Sounds like the head of the Detectives Association is another little politician. Well, he says, we won't take this lying down. Our fight here is not over. I hope so. I hope they get a real lawyer. It sounds to me like this was the cop's lawyer. This guy that the lawyer used, that the detective used, he sounds like a hack that they find somewhere in the courtrooms of the Bronx who can't get a job anywhere else, in my opinion. And now Christopher Perino, a 22-year NYPD veteran who opted for a bench trial, was today found guilty of 3 perjury charges by a judge named James M. Kindler in Bronx Supreme Court. The verdict could cost Perino, age 43, his pension and his freedom, while Eric Crespo, the perp who shot someone in the face in an elevator and who recorded him, is serving 7 years after prosecutors let him plead guilty to a lesser charge of weapons possession. Perino, who appeared teary-eyed after the verdict was read, could face up to 21 years behind bars. He's the detective. Each perjury count carries a 7-year prison term. At the perp's trial 2 years ago, the detective stated emphatically that he never interviewed the suspect before his aunt and mother had arrived at the 44th Precinct Station House. Prosecutors were blindsided during the 07 trial when Crespo's lawyers, that's the perp, introduced the MP3 recording as evidence against the detective. Now, when you actually listen to the MP3 recording, you hear no coercion. You actually hear a reasonable detective telling the perp that he cannot ask him certain things without the presence of his lawyer, but he's asking them of him anyway, and on and on. How do you think you get convictions of these vermin? How do you think you get convictions of very, very clever criminals? You think they're stupid? They're smarter than you. Many of these criminals are smarter than you. They're just mentally and morally defective in other ways. The Waxman-Malarkey global warming bill is still ongoing and still a mess. Here with an update on this nightmarish cap and trade is Ben Lieberman from the Heritage Foundation.
Well, thanks, Michael. Well, the Waxman-Markey global warming bill, which is already the most convoluted attempt at economic central planning this nation has ever seriously considered, just got a whole lot more complicated with hundreds of pages of last-minute changes. Though it take weeks for members of Congress to figure out exactly what this 1,200-page monstrosity does, it's scheduled for a rush vote by the end of the week. But one thing is certain, it still is a massive energy tax that would severely hurt the American people and the American economy. The current version doesn't weaken the stringent targets and timetables for reducing emissions of carbon dioxide from fossil fuels. They still must decline by 3% in 2012, 17% by 2020, and 83% by 2050. So whatever changes have happened in the last minute to this bill to try to buy off particular special interests, it won't lower the overall cost of the bill because fossil fuels comprise 85% of the nation's energy supply. That's coal, oil, and natural gas. These tough targets mean that prices for these energy sources resources have to go up, people and businesses are forced to use less of them. That's how these tighter targets get met. Now, a Heritage Foundation estimate came up with electricity costs rising 90% by 2035 as a result of this bill, gasoline by 58%, natural gas by 55%. A household of four can expect to pay over $1,200 more for energy annually that year. And since higher costs also raise the cost of everything else, the total cost on an average household of four would be nearly $3,000 per household per year from 2012 to 2035. Total gross domestic product would go down $383 billion annually from 2012 to 2035, and the overall cost would be $9.4 trillion. That's right. With Waxman Markey, America will be $9.4 trillion poorer than we would be without it.
Ben, what effect would these increased costs have on jobs?
Higher energy costs also kill jobs, especially energy-intensive manufacturing jobs. An estimated 1,145,000 jobs will be lost under this bill. Some of these jobs will be lost entirely. Some will be outsourced to nations like China, who have said they'll never do anything to themselves in the name of fighting global warming, as economically damaging as Waxman Markey would be to the U.S. Farming is also energy-intensive and also would be badly harmed. Heritage estimates that lower farm profits would be substantial, 28% by 2012 alone, and 57% over the life of this bill. Now, in response to complaints from farmers and others, proponents of the bill made a few small changes, but these are largely cosmetic changes. The pain for farmers, the pain for anyone who uses energy is still substantial under this bill. And we ought to remember that all this economic pain is for next to no environmental gain. Even if you assume the worst of global warming, estimates are that this would reduce the Earth's future temperature by at most 0.2 of a degree centigrade in 100 years' time, an amount too small to measure. So all economic pain for no environmental gain. That's what we're getting with this Waxman-Markey global warming bill. Thank you.
Thanks for the update on this malarkey about global warming, Ben. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
The left is very quick to accuse those with conservative views of inciting violence. We see this in the media day after day. Joining us now to talk about this is Selwyn Duke.
Hi, Michael. It's great to be with the Savage Nation again today. Michael, with the recent killing of late-term abortionist George Tiller by Kansas native Scott Roeder, we're hearing a lot of talk about how the right is responsible for inspiring murder. For instance, Joan Walsh, the editor of leftist news site Salon.com, actually said this, that those of us who are passionately pro-life are culpable in Tiller's death. And the left always plays this game. Anytime there's a violent incident perpetrated by someone who could be called a rightist, they blame traditionalists for stoking the fires of hatred. I mean, you can just count on it every single time. Whether it's an attack on an abortion center, a Timothy McVeigh, or, there really aren't all that many, are there? But don't bother ideologues with the facts. Now, Walsh, a woman of mediocre intellect and lacking moral fiber, I mean, get this, she actually called Tiller the baby killer a hero, has been beating this drum hard. In fact, she recently published a piece titled, "Can Right-Wing Hate Talk Lead to Murder?" In it, she actually draws a connection between James von Brunn, the 88-year-old white supremacist who murdered the security guard at the Holocaust Museum, and factual claims by people like Pat Buchanan, Senator Lindsey Graham, and Michael Steele about how white men are being discriminated against nowadays. She actually said, quote, "If I were a marginal, unemployed, angry, racist white man right now, I'd be hearing a lot of mainstream conservative support from my point of view. Can that help create a climate for more violence? I don't know. I hope not, but I don't know." Unquote. No, Walsh doesn't know too much. First, von Brunn isn't a rightist. He's a whitest. That's what I'd call him. In fact, he's the exact opposite of a rightist in many ways. He embraces Adolf Hitler's socialist policies, and he justifies his anti-Semitism with Darwinian theory. He also once wrote, listen to this, quote, The big lie technique employed by Paul to create the Christian religion also was used to create the Holocaust religion. Christianity and the Holocaust are hoaxes, unquote.
Well, this probably would come as a shock to someone as ill-informed as Walsh, but I've long said this. Those of us who've actually studied the history of Nazism and the white supremacist movement know that from Adolf Hitler in the 30s to his fellow travelers today, its ranks have always harbored hostility toward Christianity.
No question, Michael. And the reasons are simple. Whether you view Christianity as merely an outgrowth of Judaism or the fulfillment of it, it's the second part of Judeo-Christian. Second, like the ancient Romans, the Nazis viewed the faith of turn the other cheek. And mind you, I have to point out that that counsel is misunderstood, but they viewed it as an influence that diminishes manly virtue. And lastly, a lie and the truth don't have the same address, do they? No, of course not. Now, what white supremacists actually prefer are, not surprisingly, ancient Germanic pagan religions and even, get this, Islam. They even prefer Islam. And just consider Hitler, for instance. Consider his dislike for the heroic Germanic warrior Charles Martel. What was Martel's sin? Well, he had the gall to halt the Muslim advance into Gaul, which is now France, at the Battle of Tours in 732 AD. It's said that Hitler actually told his inner circle that if Martel had failed, the Germanic races would have been converted to the warrior creed of Islam and would have conquered the world. That was his reasoning. And the Nazis' dislike for Christianity was so great that they sought to destroy it. And of course, that's not surprising. Now, leftists scoff at this, but it's now an established fact. And how is this for evidence? There's a Jewish attorney named Julie Seltzer Mandel, a woman whose grandmother was a survivor of the Auschwitz concentration camp. Well, about 7 years ago, while she was editor of the Nuremberg Project for the Rutgers Journal of Law and Religion, she gained access to 148 bound volumes of rare documents created by the OSS, which was the World War II forerunner to the CIA. And in these documents was, get this, a 120-page report titled, quote, "The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches," unquote. The OSS explained how the Nazis planned to destroy Christian churches and replace faith in Jesus with faith in the Third Reich. It's right there in OSS documents. And to this day, nothing has changed. If you examine the writings of contemporary white supremacists, you'll find much hatred for Christianity, affection for paganism, and sympathy for Islam. That's what you'll find.
Hatred for Christianity, affection for paganism, sympathy for Islam. Sounds like the left to me. I mean, remember that those euphemistically named censorship bureaucracies of the left, human rights commissions, blah, 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 consistently silence those who dare criticize Islam, most notably Christians in places such as Canada.
That's absolutely true, Michael. But getting back to von Braun, we can make a similar point. Given that he hated not only Jews, but also George Bush and neocons in general, and he did hate those folks, who is he more reminiscent of, I ask you? Newt Gingrich or maybe Barack Obama's buddy, Reverend Wright? What do you think? And when thinking about this, bear in mind Wright's recent explanation for why Obama won't let him in the White House, when Wright said, quote, "Them Jews ain't gonna let him talk to me," unquote. But now let's return to the matter of the impact of words. The Walshes of the world say that many of us rightists are responsible for inciting violence. Okay. And in response, many on our side will say that there's only one person responsible for an act of violence, the perpetrator, be he Scott Roeder, Von Dunn, or someone else. But actually, believe it or not, both perspectives are wrong. In reality, virtually all of us understand that words can seduce. We say the pen is mightier than the sword for a reason. And we treasure freedom of speech not because words are meaningless, but precisely because they're powerful. So, while we're right to deny responsibility for Roeder, it's not because such a thing is impossible in principle. It's just that, in this case, we aren't responsible in the particular. And Walsh is right to imply that such things are possible in principle. However, she's childish in her silly implication that only the right is responsible for them in the particular. Now, of course, It's quite reflexive for a person, I have to say, even a good one, being tarnished by guilt by association, to deny the reality of indirect culpability. And it's also reflexive for dishonorable people, such as Walsh, to cynically seize upon a violent event and use it to tarnish opponents.
Well, but they're engaging in social engineering also, Selwyn. They're also trying to provide a justification for fairness doctrine-like legislation in the near future and hate speech laws down the road.
Michael, there's no doubt about that. But now, let's try to understand the fallacies here more deeply. And let's start by thinking about all the instances of leftist violence we've seen over the years. Would Muslim convert Carlos Bledsoe have murdered the army recruiter in Arkansas if he hadn't been exposed to the anti-white, anti-Western, and anti-Christian rhetoric that's everywhere today? Huh? What about Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber? Would he have perpetrated his acts had he not been weaned on environmentalist radicalism? Would all the domestic terrorists who firebombed fur stores and vandalized SUVs and research facilities have done so were it not for environmentalism? Would Colin Ferguson have targeted whites in the 1993 Long Island Railroad massacre had he not been assailed with anti-white rhetoric from the Reverend Wrights, Jacksons, and Sharptons of the world, huh? What about that? Now, you can take issue with my examples, but the details aren't the issue. The point is, would we really deny that the indoctrination people are subjected to influences their thinking? I mean, are Palestinians born hating Jews? Do madrasa schoolboys have a gene dictating hatred for the West? Again, words can seduce, let's face it. And this brings us to the crux of the matter. If rightist rhetoric can inspire others to violence just like leftist rhetoric, what determines culpability? Well, we have to ask the only relevant question about that rhetoric. Is it the truth? That's the only relevant question. For instance, you may warn that a new resident in the neighborhood did time in prison for child molestation, and an angry mob may kill him. But did you do wrong? On the other hand, though, it's a different matter if harm befalls someone after you wrongly and maliciously label him a child molester, isn't it? So, any time you sound an alarm, whether it contains the ring of truth or that of lies, it can serve as a call to violent action for some. It can.
That's true, but we can't create a Fahrenheit 451 situation in which ideas are roundly suppressed and people are kept comfortably numb unless we're in Iran or, what, in Obama's America coming soon to a theater near you?
No, Michael. No one wants that, and it wouldn't work anyway. But what's the moral of this story? Well, it's that we all can inspire violence with words, but not all of us speak inspired words. Evil may be done in the name of good or evil, but it's only those who speak evil who have blood on their hands. Michael, thank you for having me on the show, and God bless you and your audience.
Selwyn Duke, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Set.